Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Wednesday, January 22nd. It's Caitlin Clark's birthday. In addition to making my mom a huge fan now, and I've said this before on the air, but I will certainly repeat it, my mom couldn't have named one, not one WNBA player before this time last year. Not one. She can name a handful of NFL quarterbacks. She cannot name WNBA players until now. Caitlin Clark not only turned her into a huge Iowa women's basketball fan while Caitlin was there and the Hawkeyes were getting to the Final Four for a second straight year, but she did not miss a Fever game. She knows the roster. She knows all about the coaching. She told me about the fact that they're building new facilities and a new practice and training center. She's all about it. So my mom, I know, is sleeping right now, doesn't know this, but it's my goal in 2025 to get my mom tickets to see the Indiana Fever. And I know they're expensive, but it's going to be worth it because this is the excitement that mom has in her life now. And I think that's great. So thank you to Caitlin Clark for turning my mom into a big fan to the point where she even downloaded the WNBA app so that they could watch games that way if they weren't able to catch them on live broadcast. So, yes, Caitlin, thank you for injecting some new excitement and anticipation into her life. And happy birthday to you on this January 22nd. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's our hump show, middle show of the work week. Not only some joy for Caitlin, I hope, on her birthday, but how about joy for the three of the newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. What a cool moment for CeCe Sabathia, also for Ichiro, the first Japanese-born player to reach the Hall of Fame, and the impact that he had, as well as CeCe Sabathia. They're both first ballot Hall of Famers, very deserving, and I know the debate will be about who didn't vote for Ichiro, the one vote. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of cool to go in as a Derek Jeter Derek Jeter equal, kind of a footnote to history when it comes to the number of guys or the guys that got in with all but one vote. So it's really neat for them. And I love the videos. CeCe and his family, they're understandably emotional. After Ichiro found out about the Hall of Fame, then the Mariners made the announcement that they'd be retiring his jersey. And he was also emotional in that moment. Oh, and Ken Griffey Jr., who's also had his number retired, with a special message for Ichiro.
Hey, Ichiro. Congratulations on being named to the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's an unbelievable honor. Edgar and I couldn't be more proud of you. We met in 95. We've been good friends ever since then. Just want to let you know that it is a privilege and an honor to share the hall with you.
Edgar being Edgar Martinez, that comes from Mariners Twitter. So Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, now Ichiro. We're talking about the triumvirate for the Mariners, the season they had going back to 2001. And to me, I know he wasn't the first Japanese-born player to be here in the United States, but he was the first one to blow the doors off that path. So maybe it was a dirt road before. It was in the woods. There were a few guys who'd come over, as I've learned, a pitcher as far back as 1964. I obviously didn't remember that. But we've had some people who've called us up with the trivia. Ichiro is the one who paved the road that maybe before was a dirt road into the country. But he showed other Japanese players with aspirations that not only was it possible to succeed here at a level to which he was one of the best players in baseball, but also that it wasn't as complicated, that you could come over here and have success and acclimate to the United States and to Major League Baseball. And he did it later in life, so maybe that was a benefit to him. He didn't play in the majors here until he was 27. For those of you who remember that, maybe you also remember the debate about whether or not a 27-year-old should be a rookie, and the success he had in Japan, should he be allowed to win the Rookie of the Year title? All of that happening, but it was incredible to watch him. There was never a pitch Ichiro could not hit. And honestly, sometimes it looked like a game to him. Well, a game within the game of, let me see what I can do with this pitch. So congratulations to Ichiro and CeCe Sabathia, But my favorite moments on Tuesday were the moments with Billy Wagner. We shared the video of him getting the call from the hall. This was his 10th and final year of eligibility with this process where the writers vote. Now, there is a veterans committee, an old timers committee that also puts guys in. But Billy Wagner had waited all these years, and he's a unique dude. His path is not a heralded, touted prospect who was considered can't miss. I didn't know this until I was reading about him. He's the only now Hall of Famer ever to pitch at a D3 school. A Division III school. He didn't have a scholarship to play baseball. He went to a college, not a university, and a college that I've never even heard of before, Ferrum College. He was from Southwest Virginia. You want to talk about, and I don't mean rags to riches, as in he was poor. I don't know his financial status when he was growing up. But the fact that he was at the very bottom of the baseball food chain and now ends up in his 10th year of eligibility as a Hall of Famer. So if you haven't seen the video, there's not a whole lot of words that he says. Otherwise, we would share it. But it's him and his wife, and he just melts into a puddle of tears when he gets the news on the other end of the phone, which I think is pretty incredible. As you can imagine, this is one of the highlights of his life.
I don't even know how to express it. From Southwest Virginia, I mean, when I think about what I represent from Division III to Southwest Virginia to state of Virginia, you know, it's such a blessing.
Also, unique story about how he became a lefty. He was playing with a kid in his neighborhood, and he ended up with a broken arm. And it was his right arm. So he started pitching lefty.
Chip was a big fan. I'm a big fan of Chip right now. I mean, who would have thought that a kid from across the street would come over to my grandmother's house and play football with me and follow my right arm, and next thing you know, I'd be a Hall of Famer. I mean, if God isn't great and have a purpose, I don't know what does.
Awesome. On MLB Network, congratulations to Billy Wagner. And as someone who spent a lot of time waiting in my life for different career success and personal dreams coming true. I think this is really neat. And his story resonates with me. I can understand the process of waiting and the disappointments and the letdown over and over and over again. Now, he started at, I think, 10%, between 10 and 11% of the vote. And now he, you know, well over the number needed to get into the hall. And also, and I've learned about this. I didn't know about this at the beginning when I first started working in the business. But a lot of times it has to do with who else is on the ballot. It's not just about you in a vacuum and your resume and your achievements and whether or not you belong commensurate with your peers who maybe are already in the hall or who are Hall of Fame candidates. It's also about who else is on the ballot. And the process has been cleaned up. It's been tweaked. It's been retooled. It's more open. It's more honest now. They've weeded out a lot of the voters that had no business continuing to cast ballots. And you are allowed to vote for up to 10. And now the ballots become public in many cases, too. So Wagner had 422 career saves, eighth most in big league history. And he is the ninth player to go in as a reliever primarily, right? So he wasn't a starter. He didn't play a position, but he's the first of the lefties. So that's pretty neat. Congratulations to Billy Wagner. And like I said, his story is one that resonates with me, though it's awesome also to hear from guys like CeCe. And I saw his posts on social, and of course, this means the world to him. He's chosen to go in as a Yankee, so he'll wear a Yankees cap.
I don't think I would be sitting here today if I wasn't drafted by the Cleveland organization. I'm very thankful to Milwaukee for trading for me and, you know, having that run that I did there. But this is home, you know, the Bronx. I found a home in the Bronx, and, you know, I don't think I'll ever leave this city. So I think it's only fitting.
Something else that I believe is important about CeCe's story, and he's really open about it, is that he is a survivor of addiction. So he's a survivor of alcoholism, and he admitted to a lot of the struggles that he had when he was a player. Maybe they were evident to some people who were around the team a lot, maybe his teammates, maybe not, but it was a struggle for him nonstop. And he is since clean and sober, and he's talked about the health you know, the change it's made in his health and what it's meant to him to now be completely off of drinking alcohol and not have that part of his life anymore. And I think that's amazing. To me, that's, again, not just a story of making better choices and putting your health first, but a story of survival and of breaking what was an addiction that he battled for a long time. So congratulations to all of them. It's good to go through this process every year, just for us as fans. And I think having been in this business now for 25 years, a lot of these are guys that I covered the length of my career. So it's kind of a different thing too, to remember what it was like when they came in and where they started and now where they are in 2025. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find that video of Billy Wagner on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Pretty cool. And also on our Facebook page. Now coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to get the Chicago perspective on Ben Johnson becoming their next head coach. Ben will be formally introduced on Wednesday. So today, but he was welcomed to the Bears facilities, a la Tom Brady getting welcomed by the Raiders, where people are lining the halls and the stairs and the balcony. And Ben had a chance to talk to them on Tuesday.
Everyone get back to work. Listen, thank you so much. My family and I, we are beyond excited. This is exactly where we wanted to be. Woo-hoo! This is exactly where we wanted to be.
Where we want you.
This is going to be a challenge. I am well aware of that. I know what this division's about. And this is exactly where we want to be. We're going to go after this thing, and it's going to take all of us in this room. It's going to take this locker room. It's nothing more important than that locker room and us serving that locker room and those players. All right? They need to understand that. They need to feel that from us every single day. And if we do that, the wins are going to come. The playoffs are going to come. All right? Can't wait to get to know you guys. And thank you so much for the warm welcome. Thank you.
So this is not the only factor, and maybe not even the most important factor, but the ability to stand in front of a group of people that you don't know yet, that you haven't met completely, and to inspire them, to get them excited, to inject some anticipation into the equation. Obviously, when new coaches are brought in many cases, they're replacing either a coach that wasn't winning anymore or coach in some cases who kind of lost the locker room or they just needed a fresh voice. Can you inspire? Can you get them as excited as you are? And it certainly seems like Ben Johnson has been able to do that. Now, remember, he could have had the coaching job with the Commanders, right? Because he was reportedly their top pick. And he was the top pick for a lot of teams in the last coaching cycle. But he chose to stay with Detroit, said they had unfinished business. Now it's even more unfinished, and now he's a member of the enemy, if you will. So again, coming up following this break, we'll talk to our friend David Haw, who will get set for his morning show on our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score, as Ben Johnson stays in the NFC North, and I want to know the local reaction. As we're talking about the Lions, of course, they fall victim to the Commanders, and gosh, if you've not been on social lately or seen the reaction to what the Commanders have been able to accomplish and the incredible rookie season of Jaden Daniels, it is all the rage, of course. Our friend Tom Brady, you know, because we're tight. He's a member of the media now. Welcome to the dark side. Tom Brady, he still does Let's Go on Sirius XM. Now, he called the game between the Lions and the Commanders, but he was talking about how the Commanders were able to pull off this upset last weekend.
Got to run the ball, got to possess it, got to keep the Lions offense off the field. And they've got to play basically a flawless game. And the reality is that's exactly what they did. Went in there. They didn't care who they were playing. They played hard on every snap. Their young quarterback, Jaden Daniels, put together his best performance of the season. And that's what it takes this time of year. There's very little margin of error. And Detroit, 5 turnovers, and just couldn't do much to stop the run. They really were decimated by injuries by their defensive line. They ended up having to try to blitz the quarterback and add some pressure packages. And Jaden Daniels handled it so well. Got the ball out of his hands quickly to his receivers in space. They made a bunch of yards. So I was very impressed by their performance.
Now, interestingly enough, Ben Johnson, who was in charge of that offense that had the five turnovers and were unable to keep up, so to speak, and kind of overcome those mistakes, he gets a job with the Bears. And again, he was a hot commodity and could have had a head coaching job last year. Well, how about Aaron Glenn? Aaron Glenn's the defensive coordinator. And it's funny to hear some people say, well, wait a minute, maybe he's not such a good coaching candidate. Think about the injuries they had, And as much as the Commanders played their arses off and did everything Tom Brady talks about, they were also catching the Lions at the right time because of the fact that they had so many injuries on that defensive side of the ball. I don't think that should be held against Aaron Glenn. Aaron, right now, still reportedly the top candidate, the top choice for the New York Jets, though it's not yet a done deal. So the coaching carousel continues to spin. Straight ahead, though, we'll head to Chicago. David Hall will join us before his morning show on AM 670, The Score, and we'll ask him about the local reaction. Just as a side note, last time David was on the show was right after they fired Matt Eberflus. Good morning to you. It's Wednesday. It's your hump day. You got this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Whatever it takes is kind of where I'm at for myself. And then for this team, just having the right people, the right people. And that's first. Before, schemes, before, the type of player, 6'5" and this and that. Having the right people here, whether it's a locker room, whether it's the people upstairs, coaches, whatever the case may be, just having the right people overall in the building to be able to, help grow the culture.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Caleb Williams. I don't know why I'm choked up over it. Number one overall pick from last year's draft, and by all accounts had a really solid rookie season despite the challenges for the Bears and the long losing skid and being in what was the toughest division in the regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He says adversity will help him become a better quarterback. Well, how about the coach, Ben Johnson? We're pleased to welcome David Hall, who's a morning show host from our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score. David, good morning. And I'll start there. How does the hiring of Ben Johnson potentially impact the rookie? Well, no longer the rookie, the quarterback.
Good morning, Amy. Thanks for having me again. I think that Caleb Williams realizes that this, if he doesn't, he should. It's all about him now, and it's going to be an opportunity for him to improve at a rate that is maybe what we expected when he came here as a rookie. Because we were under the impression, false impression, I think you'll remember the conversation. Caleb Williams is going through the best situation any rookie quarterback's ever gone into. And it was folly because it disintegrated quickly. He ended up playing for three different offensive coordinators, two different head coaches. He didn't have an offensive line that protected him. He was sacked 68 times. And now he has the ability to hit reset, to start over. He'll be better for the experience. He'll have overcome the adversity. One day he'll look back at that as a learning experience. But Ben Johnson should have Caleb Williams excited because he has everybody else in Chicago excited about the possibility.
Okay, so good. That's where we start. The Chicago reaction has been excited, has been, hey, this is a great hire. I saw a quote from you on one of your shows that you were doing in which you said this was Kevin Warren's best day as Bears president. Why? Why do you believe this was such a big deal?
Amy, you've got to understand Chicago. I think you do. The Bears never do this. Okay. The Bears never get their guy. The Bears never win the beauty pageant. They're always runners up. They're always the team that can't close the deal. And Kevin Warren came here 2 years ago as team president talking about big plans and grandiose dreams. And all of the rhetoric was lofty and really unrealistic because we are in Chicago beaten down by all the Bears' ineptitude over the years, frankly. And there's a cynicism that the Bears have earned. So going into this coaching search, we all expected, let me just speak for myself. I expected it to be more the same. They had a list that was 20 deep. They interviewed 17 guys. And frankly, it left the impression, because it was the Bears, they didn't know what they were looking for. Turns out they got their guy. Just like they said, this would be the most coveted job. It turned out that it was because they were willing to pay. They were willing to make any sort of concession that Ben Johnson wanted. They identified him as the number one choice. And Kevin Warren has to get credit for pulling off a home run hire. I think Ryan Poles was part of that. But keeping Ryan Poles was Kevin Warren's job, too. So I think big picture, this was probably Kevin Warren's best day, yes.
Any concerns about the fact that he's never been a head coach before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once the euphoria wears off, you have to remember that, you know, there's still scar tissue from the Matt Nagy era. And there's still examples around the league where guys, when they take over head coaching jobs, it's more than just about calling the most clever play. You know, you want guys who are going to be able to command the room, as they say, and be able to deal with the issues on a team that lack discipline and accountability. So that's the box that Ben Johnson has yet to check. I will say this, as valid as those concerns are, his first day yesterday showed us a side of him I don't think that we have seen. Because he was enthusiastic, he was rah-rah, he was talking to a building full of employees. And, you know, in that moment, I think you see a lot about guys, how they respond. He wasn't awkward. The Bears lead the league in awkward. And this wasn't somebody who now you feel like he's going to be overwhelmed by any moment. He'll meet the rest of the media today. And I don't think he's just going to win the press conference. He'll probably win by 2 touchdowns.
What do you need to hear from him?
A clear plan for Caleb Williams. What will he do to get the most out of a guy that was drafted first overall?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is he willing to not even concede, but I think that when you hear a guy on his first day, you also want to hear him being able to critique things in a way that says he's not going to be blown away or he's going to tell you the truth. I think you want to, this is a tough job. It's in Chicago. You have a fan base that's starving for success. You have a media corps that's tired of dealing with, you know, the Bears and their kind of dysfunction. And what you want to hear from Ben Johnson today is a plan for Caleb Williams and a broader plan to win the Super Bowl. I think that's got to be the way he looks at it. This is a division that's tough. It wasn't great in the playoffs, but certainly we had a great regular season with the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions. And you want to hear from Ben Johnson a reason to believe again. This fan base is beaten down. We went into this season. They had the Hard Knocks bounce. You thought everything was possible. They should have won 10 games, and then they lost 10 in a row. So you need somebody who's going to revitalize the fan base, regalvanize the building, and just be a guy that is as good as advertised.
David Haugh is with us from Chicago, getting ready for his morning show, Mully and Haugh on AM 670, The Score. We're talking about the Ben Johnson hire, but you mentioned the NFC North. I'm glad you brought it up. What happened to the division in the playoffs, David?
Well, I think it's much like, you know, it's not a apples-to-apples comparison, but when you look at, you know, March Madness, there's going to be a team that goes in hot and a team that you can't explain. I think that's the Commanders. And you look at what they were able to do in dispatching the Lions, and it's like, well, it might be their year. And the Lions had so many injuries that they just caught up with them. With the Vikings, I think that what they did in the regular season was remarkable, given what Sam Darnold was able to accomplish with Kevin O'Connell, who got a new deal, by the way, and now he's going to be here for a while. But I don't understand why people – it is a bottom-line industry. It's a results-oriented business, and there's a lot of disappointment that the NFC North didn't do well in the playoffs. But I still think big picture, this is as tough a division as there is in football. You had two teams with 14 victories, and they just ran into the wrong team at the wrong time in the playoffs. Takes away from what they accomplished in the regular season, but it doesn't erase it.
Let's say, and this is speculation, of course, we're doing the same conversation a year from now. Let's hope we're not talking about a new Bears head coach, but we're talking again at this point, so we're post-regular season. Do you expect the division to have the same success with a Lions, Vikings, Packers, all double-figure wins? And what would you expect from the Bears?
I do think it's going to be as tough as it was this year. I do think that, you know, the Lions may come back to earth. They're dealing with a coaching deficit now. Mm-hmm. But you wonder how they're going to address that. There's still 10 or more wins on that roster with that tradition that now Dan Campbell has built. I look at the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, whoever plays quarterback, he's going to max out that ability, and he's going to get a guy that's going to be able to execute his offense. And I look at that defense. I don't know what's happening with Brian Flores, but if he stays, they can get to the passer, and they're going to be a problem regardless of the personnel. And then there's the Packers. Matt LaFleur just keeps on winning. I know there's a bit upset in Green Bay, a bit unrest up there north of the border, but he just keeps winning. So they're consistent. And I think the Bears have to look at this as an opportunity to hit reset quickly. There doesn't need to be a full rebuild. They have to look at the roster and rebuild the offensive line, make that the number one priority. They've got their quarterback. That's the toughest thing to get when you're trying to, you know, take that next step or take that first step in the NFL. And they've got it. So I look at what Ben Johnson can do for the Bears. And I think this will continue to be the toughest division in football.
David, I didn't realize this till I was stalking you on social, that you're also a voter for the Baseball Hall of Fame. So that's really cool. And I know you described it, you shared your ballot, you described it as a privilege and honor. But what's the process going into this when, yeah, you take it seriously and you want to make sure that you do your due diligence? How do you approach it?
Oh, it's a lot of research. I know that I enjoy doing it because of just, You watch the clip, I'm sure you may have seen it, Billy Wagner getting the news yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's so cool when stuff like that happens. And I know a lot of people feel like, you know, other people are deserving. And, you know, I voted for Andrew Jones and he didn't get in, and I think he should get in. But Amy, I think what it is that if you do view it, and I think most voters do, as a privilege, you put the time in, you try to make good decisions, and you have a rationale. You know, that's the only thing, you want to be consistent. And, you know, we could sit here all morning and talk about Carlos Beltran and why not voting for him, or, you know, the PED guys and where they belong in Cooperstown in a wing that identifies them as part of the steroid era. And we could talk about why what happened last night, Ichiro, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wagner make all the sense in the world. Now, I don't know why Ichiro wasn't unanimous. I don't know who that voted.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me. So thank you this morning for having me on to establish the fact it wasn't me.
Right.
But it's really fun to do. And last night I just got such a kick out of seeing Billy Wagner. And,
yes.
And I think that guys like that, stories like that, are ones that are fun to tell every year.
Yeah, I love to use that audio when guys find out, but there was nothing to it because he was crying. He wasn't really talking. So we shared the video, but it was amazing too. Last chance on this ballot. Let me ask you one more thing, if you don't mind. Think, sure. Whether fair or unfair, there's been a perception over the past few years that the process itself is wonky and maybe can't be trusted, and some writers don't take it seriously. Some guys aren't even involved in baseball anymore. What has changed about the process in the last few years?
Well, you know, I think that those are valid criticisms. And I think if they want to establish some more ground rules about people who they've tried to ferret out some of the people that maybe haven't been around the game. And I say in my own situation, you know, when I was the columnist for the Chicago Tribune for all those years, I was around games on a more regular basis. I don't ignore it now. I'm you know, obviously every day at the radio station, we are the Cubs flagship at 670 The Score. So you're around the game, and I think that you're qualified. But if they wanted to go through and have a harder qualification process so the guys voting are more, in their minds, qualified to do so, I think I'm open to that, because maybe not everybody does take it as seriously. Maybe people aren't as committed to doing the right thing sometimes. And I get that, but it's got to be an open-ended conversation, and you got to keep an open mind, because, you know, the things like, it's a shame that, you know, Ichiro gets in and all that he accomplished. And we even have to mention the fact that not everybody voted for him. And that's even part of the conversation. So yeah, I just think that they continue to look at the process and not be afraid to tweak it here and there.
Well, if you want to see David's ballot, because it's open, it's available, lots of other voters putting their ballots out there too. I think that's great for transparency and authenticity. It's online at David Haugh, H-A-U-G-H. And with the announcement, I can imagine you'll talk about it on your show. Mully and Haugh on AM 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, our Chicago affiliate. Great day to be a Bears fan, it sounds like. So, David, I think the last time we spoke, it was right after Eberflus got fired. Now we've got a new coach. We'll have to check in again as they get closer to the season. But thank you so much. It's good to have some positive news for Chicago.
You're the best, Amy. Thanks a lot.
Good to talk to you. That's neat. I didn't even realize it, as I say, until just a few hours ago when I was looking at his Twix and getting ready for our conversation, realizing that we were able to get him on the morning that we're talking about the new Hall of Fame inductee. So congratulations to, and there were others too, but in the player category, outstanding player, Ichiro, CC Sabathia, and then Billy Wagner, who I agree with David is my favorite story, because anything worth having is worth sacrificing for, and anything worth having is worth waiting for. And he waited for so long, and gosh, the reaction was definitely in line with all those years of disappointment, but finally realizing his dream. So yeah, you can check out David's ballot. There are others too, like Bob Nightingale and other voters who shared theirs online. 855-212-4227. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. Been watching some tennis too. We saw the American Ben Shelton. He advanced into the semifinals. So there's at least one American in the semifinals. We know Jannik Sinner is on the coach, not the coach. He's on the court right now, and keeping our eyes on him. And then if you saw it, so it was happening this time yesterday, it was a match between Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz. So two guys who kind of connected, but at the opposite ends of their careers. And it was a four-setter, and Novak survived it. But what is his big concern moving forward? It was interesting to hear from him. So again, good morning. A couple more minutes, but following the update. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
While only three coaches have won at least 13 games twice in their first three seasons, George Seifert, Matt LaFleur, and Kevin O'Connell. Well, the Vikings now rewarding O'Connell with a multi-year contract extension, as he's 34-17 in his first 3 years, including a pair of playoff appearances. Now he remains in Minnesota long-term. Josh McDaniels reportedly on his way back to the Patriots as their offensive coordinator under Mike Vrabel. Third stint in this role for McDaniels, having won three Super Bowls in New England, now helped to try to get Drake May to turn into the next franchise quarterback in New England. Plenty of anticipation for the Chiefs and Bills in the AFC Championship game. Buffalo getting here in part by their +24 turnover margin. Head coach Sean McDermott aware they'll need to continue to do a good job with that ball security.
It's what we believe in terms of our approach to the game. It's easier said than done, I can tell you. I mean, the defenses in the league are so good. So it has to continue to be a point of emphasis for us every day.
Class of 2025 for the Baseball Hall of Fame has three new members. Ichiro Suzuki, just one vote shy of a unanimous selection. He's joined by CeCe Sabathia and Billy Wagner. Carlos Beltran finished just short, along with Andrew Jones, who still has 2 years of eligibility. NBA, LeBron James, 21, as part of a triple-double. Anthony Davis, 29 and 16 rebounds. Lakers pound the Wizards, 111-88. Nuggets rock the Sixers, 144-109. Nikola Jokic, 27, as part of a triple-double, his 18th of the season. Blazers down the Heat, 116-107. DeAndre Ayton at 22 and 15 boards. Knicks erased the Nets, 99-95. 25 and 16 rebounds for Karl Anthony Towns. And the Raptors dispose of the Magic, 109-93. Off the floor, Suns seem to be getting a little better position to land Jimmy Butler. They pick up three first-round picks from the Jazz, then exchange for a first-rounder in 2031. College hoops, Iowa State dominated UCF, 108-83. Alabama punished Vanderbilt, 103-87. Tennessee handled Mississippi State, 68-56. Marquette had no problems with Seton Hall, 76-59. Ohio State shocked Purdue, 73-70. UConn survived Butler in overtime, 80-78. Oregon dubbed Washington, 82-71. UCLA up into Wisconsin, 85-83, while Texas erased Missouri, 61-53. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown. Feathers belting into the end zone. Touchdown.
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Hurts of the gun on first down. He goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards. That'll lock it up.
In the snow, no less, with a wild celebration for not just Eagles Nation, but Saquon and his teammates and even A.J. Brown taking a break from his reading to slide in the snow with Saquon. Merrill Reese with the call on Eagles radio that the longer touchdown run, but Saquon over 200 yards and overwhelmingly, this is what happens when it's the end of the show and it's the hump show. Middle show of the work week, it hits you hard sometimes. Overwhelmingly, your choice for your TD of the week. And we've only got really one more poll. That's if we have enough candidates from the upcoming championship games between AFC and NFC. And we get the NFC East on tap in that first game coming up on Sunday afternoon. So good to hear from different guys who are still operating in the league. Devontae Adams does a regular spot with Kay Adams, which is kind of fun, on her morning show, Up in Adams. And they were talking about, but he was asked whether or not the Commanders can now complete this trifecta, if you will, knocking off division champions and get through their division rival, the Eagles.
Anything's possible. Best player in football right now is on the Eagles, so I don't know that I can say they're going to win the game, but I know that if there's anybody in the playoffs right now on the NFC side or on the NFC side from the beginning, that's I feel like can take this. I feel like it's them, especially after this game. I'm not going to lie. I personally am always rooting for Jade. I think that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but I did not think they were going to win that game. And that's just because Detroit is just a different team this year. And, you know, I'm not wrong. I don't think I'm wrong for thinking that they were maybe had enough juice and firepower and, you know, the way that they were called plays, everything. I think it surprised a lot of people, but it also doesn't really surprise me.
So Up in Adams with Devontae Adams and Kay Adams. And he I think, expresses what was a common thought, that the Lions had all their ducks in a row, if you will, and were lined up to win it, except here are the Commanders, a red-hot team, and a Commanders team that was used to, is used to, playing in close and late situations, is used to being in these pressure cookers where the game is still hanging in the balance in the final play. And what we saw them win five consecutive games on the final play. So the fact that it wasn't the final play, it was a little bit different, almost jarring for the Commanders against the Lions. But also, let's remember, you play any team in the postseason and turn the ball over five times, which is what the Lions did, that really tips the scales. It doesn't matter if you're a red-hot team like the Commanders. They would have been upset by most teams in the postseason had they turned the ball over five times. Remember, the Vikings did the same thing, right? Was it four or five turnovers? But also the Rams got to Sam Darnold over and over, and so they were able to advance. There's just so little margin for error this time of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I also like Devontae raving about Jaden Daniels, even though he says the best player in the NFL right now is Saquon Barkley.
He honestly, and I know people are going to act crazy for me saying this, but I don't even mean it in any way other than just what I'm saying. But he reminds me a lot of just the temperament, the calmness, just the smoothness out there. He's a lot like J Love as far as like demeanor goes, and you never see him get worked up. He may put a ball out a little too far, or somebody may not come down with it, which doesn't happen too much, but if it does, you can just feel it's like a different type of veteran feel back there. I mean, the kid's just sitting in the pocket, dialing it up, waiting for stuff to develop, hitting open receivers and then running the ball and running through people, doing a little bit of everything. It looks literally just like his Heisman year. This is exactly why I wanted him in Vegas. I don't know if I would have ever had to leave Vegas if we would have been able to make that happen.
Now, see, I love what he had to say about Jaden, but when I first heard Devontae talk about, I mean, and so openly about how much he wanted Jaden. Now, he'd said it before. I'd heard him say it before, and we had talked about it with our Raiders insider, Hondo Carpenter, some of the circumstances behind Devontae's departure. But that, to drop it in so casually, that tidbit about how I might not have left Vegas had it been for the fact that we couldn't find a quarterback, or kind of the converse, which is also true if we'd been able to get Jaden Daniels. They just weren't high enough in the draft to be able to get Jaden Daniels. And yeah, we've talked about their choice of Brock Bowers and what that means. But Devontae is admitting that's a major reason why he didn't want to stay in Vegas. Now, something else to do with the Raiders. Have you heard producer Pete? This is kind of funny. I was going to say Pete. Have you heard producer Pete? Pete Carroll. See what I mean? See what I did there? It wasn't on purpose. It sounded awkward. Producer Pete is apparently Pete Carroll is, I don't want to say Tom Brady's choice, but we know that he's got a major influence when it comes to this hiring. Tom Brady and Mark Davis and the rest of the Raiders, it sounds like, according to the reports, and so we take them all with a grain of salt, that Pete Carroll is their next choice. So Ben Johnson was their first choice. Pete Carroll would be their next choice.
That's surprising for them. I think Pete Carroll would fit in Dallas because I think they're more ready made to win now. I think Raiders are a little more of a project.
Well, they don't have a quarterback.
Right, and I think they need to establish more of a culture. I could see Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy would be a better choice, as far as I'm concerned, in Dallas. In terms of, he might not come there and be the flashiest guy, but he'll come there and you'll win. You'll have winning seasons, and you'll get the ship back on track.
See, I kind of think Pete Carroll is fairly flashy. Just his energy and the chomping on the gum, and he's very excited, and I would say a rah-rah type, though he's also won championships at both the college and pro level. So you bring that credibility into the locker room. My issue is I just don't know where you go from Mike McCarthy with what's available. Mike Tomlin's not available. People keep asking me, what about Mike Tomlin to the Dallas Cowboys? No, it's not happening. He's not available. You can't get Kevin O'Connell, right? You're not going to get one of these other proven coaches. Brian Schottenheimer is the guy that's interviewed with them more recently. I don't know how the Cowboys fan base would react to that, and I guess we don't have to jump the gun yet. And I'm not saying it has to be a splash. You don't want to forsake substance just for style. But you get rid of Mike McCarthy or you undercut him, you undersell him so that he's essentially going to walk away, and then you go with his offensive coordinator who wasn't even calling plays? That doesn't even make sense, Pete. It doesn't make sense.
It makes sense to me. They're cheap. Exactly what happened.
All right. Well, coming up on our next edition of the show, we didn't get to it, but did you hear about the 11-year-old who got the Paul Skeens rookie card and what the Pirates are willing to do to get it back? Awesome. So that's tonight's show. Also, happy birthday to Caitlin Clark. Amazing. Happy 23rd. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!